This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at grainfield.com.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's December the 9th of 2005. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with the folks at Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's at Williamsville Farmer Co-op in Williamsville, Illinois, and is with FCC Futures. Just after the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with folks at the Illinois State Water Survey. And Dave Dickey will be along today to update us on all the agricultural news. It all happens right here on WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for his crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
Taking a look at what happened to the Chicago Board of Trade, the Kansas City Board of Trade, and the Mercantile Exchange for the afternoon. From the Kansas City Board of Trade, down 5.5 cents in the nearby December wheat pit on a Friday at 3:52. From the Board of Trade, December wheat at 2.93. Down 2.5 cents. March contract there traded 4.75 lower. December corn at the board, 1.5 cents higher at 189.75. The March futures at 203.75. And they were up 2 cents. May futures up 1.75 at 212.5. December corn at 241.25, up 2.25. January soybeans 568.75, up 2. The March futures at 578.5, up 3. The May soybeans at 582.5, they were up 2.75. And next year's November contract 7 cents higher at $5.98. December bean meal 181.60, up 2.30 for the day. December bean oil at 2070, down 27. From the Mercantile Exchange, off a dollar in the nearby January contract at 113.77.5 for the feeder cattle. Live cattle traded at 91.92.5. They were off 50 cents. In December, lean hogs were down 32.5 today at 62.55.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Mike Zuzulo, Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Hi, Mike. How are
hey
you
there,
on
Todd.
This? How are you on this snowy afternoon?
We're doing great.
Tell me about this morning's release. Kind of interesting that we had a release that probably looked pretty bearish. Beans were up 55 million bushels in the carryout from 350 to 405. Corn carryout for next year up 100 million bushels to 2.419 billion bushels. And they still managed to finish both of those commodities higher this afternoon.
Yeah, we called up at the floor after the close, and, you know, it was a very good day in the beans and the meal, given the overall tone, like you said, especially, you know, given the meal leading us higher again. We noted that the March meal is up 690 for the week. And so, you know, it seems to us that now the fundamental leader and the report leader and what the trade has decided at the close today is that meal is the key to the bean complex. But we do have three questions that would make us cautious right now. Was meal up on meal oil spreading because the oil report was negative? Secondly, can we really be friendly beans given we didn't take out Monday's high in January, you know, of that 575.5 level? That was a key reversal day, and it still remained intact at the end of this week for both corn and those beans. And then the third thing was, can we really be friendly today's price action when the spreads widened out? You know, the November and the August were the really catalytical months for buying, and it seemed like the March and January and May just kind of fell along with it. So bottom line to us, Todd, is these questions kind of speak to us and say, be cautious, you know, reward the rallies on old crop beans if you've got it in the bin, especially since basis has been tightening. If you get above a 575 level again in January, let some go. Reward those rallies. And on the new crop, do the same thing at the 605 level. And the main reason we're doing that is because of the report and the fact that we did see some increases, and we just didn't like the fact that Brazil got an export increase by USDA this morning, and we don't like the fact that if Argentina gets one good rain here next week, a lot of the private guys are saying we're in good shape for 20 to 30 days. And it to us, when you look at the last 3 years, this is the best start to the South American crop we've seen in the last 3 years, and that just makes us real cautious, especially when spreads widen.
I want to bring you back to something you mentioned earlier. You talked about the oil and the meal spread and what might be happening there, some of that based on the oil numbers that were released in the WASDE this morning. But can you tell me what the meal figures look like?
Yeah, the meal did come down, and the world meal figures came down very nicely to, in, you know, to a 2 or almost a 3% drop, and that was a nice thing to see worldwide because we're already tight. But it goes back to the psychology of the trade right now. We have had for some time, ever since the bean oil and biodiesel mindset kind of came together, I don't know, maybe 3 months ago, two and a half months ago, people in the trade seem to have been a friend to the bean oil, and then the bird flu issue broke, and they got even more friendly to the oil and more negative to the meal. We're wondering whether this is being unwound and unwrapped now because of the way this report shook out and some of the latest indications on the bird flu in China maybe getting a little bit more under control.
Is it fair to say that you're neutral to not so friendly the bean market at this time then?
You know, I would say to you, we took the position after the report, overall, we're cautious old crop corn and beans, and we want to get hedges made and catch up sales made on rallies. And we're optimistic new crop corn because we think new crop corn has a different set of criteria, a different set of fundamentals that are going to shake out here between now and planting. At least we want to give the market the chance to, because we're already trading at almost a loan price for next year if you're using a 30 or 35 cent basis. As far as new crop beans, that's a lot harder for us. We think that the, you know, so goes the old crop, the new crop will go also. We don't want to let $6 slip away, at least to get started on hedging. And if that's our worst selling price this year, I think we can manage that.
Interesting that you're thinking $6 for beans. I would imagine that there aren't many farmers that you talk to that are willing to start at that area.
They're starting to turn the corner. You know, if you would ask that question of us, you know, the last 2 weeks, because we've been a lot of meetings in the last 2 or 3 weeks, if you would ask that up until 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago, we would have said that's absolutely right. No one really wants to let go. They still got a ton of their old crops still in the bin. Now they're starting to work a little bit different mindset, and I think that goes back to the South American weather. They know that the cycle has been on their side. If the weather's been bad in Brazil especially, they're getting the same information we are. Yeah, maybe it's going to be a heavy rust year because they're actually wet, and maybe the prices aren't high enough that producers will want to, you know, spend a lot of extra money to fight rust, but that's probably on down the road a little bit. So farmers are starting to feel a little bit more pressure to get some beans sold, we think.
Is there much pressure on the next crop production report and the plantings report for wheat? It seems to me that at this point now, we don't really have much in the way of fresh fundamental news that will come into the marketplace, at least for corn and wheat, until we get to those numbers in January.
No, that's right. And, you know, we put on our weekly update to clients last week. We thought the low was in wheat, and it just sure didn't hold. I mean, it just didn't happen. And that goes back to this report. And so really what's left, you hit it on the nose, with Kansas City futures in the December down 14, Chicago December futures down 10.5. Everybody's probably now looking at the 14-cent spread between the March 06 and the DEIS 05 because, well, DEIS 05 futures for both wheat and corn and meal will go off next Tuesday, the 14th. So there's quite a premium in there. But Chicago contacts we had that we called today had really good input on that. They said, look, the bottom line here is Chicago's not going to bounce until KC bounces. KC can't really bounce because of what the report said, but they do feel like the funds are way too short in the Chicago complex. So maybe a little bit better weather as far as, you know, more friendly news on the weather front in Kansas City. The southern areas of the southern plains that are very, very dry got really no relief at all based upon the clients we have down there in contacts at the Kansas City Board of Trade. So we think maybe that today priced in the report, and if we come back on Monday and we see some short covering, we'll feel a lot better about that.
Over on the Mercantile Exchange, the cattle futures finished the day all in the red. The day January's, March, April's down, and the feeder cattle, live cattle were lower as well. This despite the fact that it certainly appears Japan, maybe as early as Monday, will start to allow some cattle to enter their borders. And then we started talking about snapback just a bit today.
Yeah, maybe a little buy the rumor, sell the fact there, and maybe some buy the rumor, sell the fact when it comes to the issue of the winter plains weather and what we dealt with this week. And the other thing we noted, and this goes back to what we talked about this morning about the domestic usage of corn, you know, dress cattle weights, we just found out this afternoon, are up 20 pounds versus a year ago today. So we are seeing a domestic usage increase. And with the, you know, size and the number of cattle in the feedlot, because I remember you talked to Chuck about that last month when the report was released, there's a lot of cattle out there, and if they're 20 pounds heavier coming to the market, that makes up for a lot of short supply. So maybe those weight numbers did get picked up by the trade right before the close.
And then I do want to discuss the snapback just a bit. I'm only recalling this. Maybe you might know for sure. And I think that Dave Dickey has a news story on this in just a minute, too. But the snapback basically, if I remember correctly, says we will put a tariff on beef coming into Japan if you exceed, I want to say it's 38.5% of what the previous 3 months maybe, or maybe
yeah.
3 months might have been. So 38% of zero is like almost a guarantee that there will be a tariff on cattle going in on all the cattle that will be entering that marketplace.
Well, that's it. And, you know, it goes back to the bigger picture that a lot of the USDA folks seem to be giving, at least to us, they kind of give us in their rhetoric and their tone. Anyway, they may not have this published, but in their rhetoric and their tone, they're very skeptical about this Japanese agreement. It's going to be a lot of hoops. It's going to be a lot of things to jump through. And can we really get it done? I guess they think we can, and the Japanese think we can, but that will be a tough road to hoe at this point because we aren't used to these kind of, you know, qualifications to get our beef sent over there. So it'll be a work in process, I'm sure.
Mike, we appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks. Have a great weekend, Todd.
You too. Mike Zuzlow is with Risk Management Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report on Wednesday after, or rather on Friday afternoons.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with the folks at the Illinois State Water Survey. The forecast from Ed Kieser for the two-state region this afternoon says it'll be mostly sunny in Illinois. In Indiana, there'll be some gradual clearing from west to east. The highs ranging this afternoon from 15 in northwestern Illinois to 27 in the far south. Tonight, Ed says clear to partly cloudy and cold. Lows will range from 5 in northwestern Illinois to 15 in the far south. And tomorrow, in northwestern and central Illinois, increasing clouds, some light snow possible late in the day. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs will range tomorrow from 25 in northwestern Illinois to 37 in the far south. Dave Dickey will be here in just a moment to take a complete look at the day's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the man chairing next week's ministerial meeting in Hong Kong says if the WTO summit fails, it could destroy the credibility of the World Trade Organization. Hong Kong Trade Chief John Tsang warned a failed summit would cause growing bilateralism in world trade deals, intensifying the imbalance between rich and poor nations. Meanwhile, American Farm Bureau trade analyst Pat O'Brien says U.S. agriculture has to make sure it gets market access at least equal to the amount of domestic support it's giving up. Otherwise, O'Brien says, U.S. agriculture should walk away from the negotiating table.
Agriculture heretofore has gotten a free ride on all the trade agreements because the domestic support provision wasn't in place. This is the first time that I think agriculture has to sit down and say, what do we get out of this trade agreement in terms of increased access? If it isn't enough to make up for the loss in domestic support, I think this may be the first time in history where agriculture stands up and says we're not in favor of a free trade agreement, a market liberalization agreement. If we can hold other countries to limit their special product designations, the agreement is not in our best interest.
O'Brien says tariffs on ag goods in the rest of the world must come down by 60% if the U.S. is to give up 60% of its domestic support programs. O'Brien adds U.S. federal budget pressures and likely future WTO limits on trade-distorting farm programs adds up to significant changes for the 2006 Farm Bill.
Our next Farm Bill has to be a sector-wide bill that looks at all of agriculture, not at individual commodity sectors. We need to rethink the way we support agriculture, the way we stabilize markets, the way we enhance income across commodities, because WTO is going to put a significant number of constraints on the ways we've traditionally supported agriculture. If agriculture falls into scraps between wheat and corn and soybean and cotton producers, we can't possibly hope to survive and prosper in the WTO environment.
On Thursday, European Union Trade Commissioner Peter Mandelson told U.S. reporters that the clock is ticking for Doha. He says it will be difficult to sustain the round if significant progress is not made in 2006. Mandelson says the negotiations have been, in his words, reduced to crude haggling over market access. Mandelson says it's time for the U.S. to recognize the impact of the EU's offer to cut farm tariffs and subsidies. U.S. cattle producers say they are encouraged by the news that the Japanese government could open its border to U.S. beef as early as next week, but they will continue to push for full trade with Japan even after that happens. National Cattlemen's Beef Association President Jim McAdams says the plan is to push to reestablish full beef trade with Japan as Japanese consumers start building some confidence in the safety of U.S. beef. NCBA Chief Economist Greg Dowd says regaining market share will be a slow process, and Dowd adds he expects Japan's snapback tariff on U.S. beef to be re-triggered.
The snapback provision will definitely be a problem down the road. I don't think there's any way, shape, or form that we won't trip that, kicking that tariff from 38.5% back up to 50%, and we're going to have to broach that subject at the appropriate time. But how that works, as it is hardwired or written into Japanese law, is that's going to be something really difficult that we have to deal with, and I think we're just going to have to live with it.
That tariff could be as much as 50% of the value of the product. And a Monsanto-funded study released by the Natural Center of Food and Agricultural Policy says the ever-increasing number of biotech plant varieties is benefiting farmers. The study says biotech varieties increased food production by 6.6 billion pounds in 2004 and added $2.3 billion to the pockets of U.S. producers. Nebraska, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota obtained the greatest biotech benefits. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, up next, this winter, farmers around the nation will sit down with their bankers and ask for operating loans. They can go into the meeting better prepared thanks to some financial benchmarks on the University of Illinois FarmDoc website. The U of I's FarmDoc website is one of the best financial resources in the world for row crop farmers. It's a fair statement backed up by an enormous volume of accolades from users and industry peers. FarmDoc is a website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Some of the newest information on the site, under the financial section, found to the left-hand side of the page, are the benchmarks farm producers can use to compare their operation to others around the state of Illinois. Dale Latz says the information is aggregated from the financial records supplied by those producers in the FBFM, or Farm Business, Farm Management, record-keeping program.
Each year about this time, part of the information we get that we do get from the Illinois Farm Business Farm Management Association is a very good set of complete financial information, financial ratios, and so forth. And as producers are kind of wrapping up harvest this time of year and starting to get the paperwork maybe together and thinking about going into the lender this fall or this winter and doing some analysis on the farm, one of the resources that we have available here at the university is a good set of financial ratios and characteristics from Illinois farms that producers can look at and kind of use as a benchmark to their operation.
Latz says the 2004 FBFM records have been compiled and are available for comparison on the FarmDoc website.
On the website will be a number of benchmark figures that producers can use, such as financial ratios like the current ratios, which looks at their liquidity position, operating efficiency ratios, such as interest as a percent of gross farm returns, depreciation information, return on farm equity, and those type of figures. So if we're putting together a balance sheet here as we get into the wintertime and you're doing some of these ratio calculations and want some information to compare to, this would be an excellent resource to kind of look at.
The data is divided by size of farm and type of farm, along with tenure, or percent of ownership. Latz cautions producers to be sure to get the tenure figure right. The ratios for landowners and land renters can be very different. The farm financial benchmarks are available on the FarmDoc website in the finance section. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. Then click the finance button on the left-hand side of the page. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural information on AM 580 is made possible with support from Lincoln Land Agri-Energy in Palestine, Illinois, producing a renewable fuel with corn bought directly from the farmer. More information at 800-586-2321 or online at lincolnlandagrienergy.com.
We're joined now by Bruce Bostard of the Williamsville Farmers Co-op in Williamsville, Illinois, to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Tell me about the basis in your area and how it's held up over the last week.
Well, two different worlds between the processor and the river. On the processor side, we have seen some continued improvement on the corn basis. Bean basis is basically steady. On the river, the logistics and the higher barge freight is basically cutting into better Gulf numbers. Low water and extremely cold temperatures are causing problems. They are talking about cutting the draft back at Cairo to 9 foot. That could strand some barges in St. Louis. Apparently a couple tows southbound out of Keokuk ran aground yesterday with low water, so some problems there. For comparison's sake, a spot barge from central Illinois to New Orleans probably would cost you 20 cents a bushel more to move the corn down there today than they would a week ago.
And have producers taken advantage of any of the marketplace in the last week to market cash corn or beans?
Cash movement has been very slow over the last week. We've seen a little increase in interest, but not much additional selling. I have had a few people coming in and putting beans under loan for some cash flow. That kind of scares you because that allows people to put the marketing decision off for 9 months and dig a hole to where they're forget about it and stare at it next fall when we're staring into harvest again.
Indeed, and let's see, 9 months, that'll put them, that could put them into the heart of what
into
looks
September,
to,
yep.
Yeah, it could put them into the heart of a really tough time for prices as we head into a what could be another really big crop, I suppose.
Yeah,
what
the key there, I guess, is you can put it under loan for cash flow, but not to just sit on it and forget about it. You can't defer the marketing until the loan expires.
And what are your expectations for marketing the crop in January? How much of the corn crop do you think in the area will come out of the bin and be put into the elevator or the processor?
We have a tremendous amount of pent-up selling. Cash movement has been virtually non-existent through harvest right up to today. So there's a lot of grain that's pent up and needs to move at some point. Looking for an opportunity to move. We saw that pop on Monday, and we saw, you know, maybe minimal cash movement there. I am hearing some areas, though, that had some pretty good days on pretty good day on Monday on cash selling.
And your bids for the day?
We are at 183 on nearby corn and 549 on the soybeans.
Bruce, thanks much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard of FCC Futures at the Williamsville Farmers Co-op in Williamsville, Illinois. In about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Steve Hilberg. Your local newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The Decatur School Board is asking its striking teachers to return to class Monday while contract negotiations continue. The Decatur Education Association is likely to have a reply later today following a work session between representatives of the school board and the union. They're discussing the current high school schedule, which has been the main sticking point in the labor dispute. The Decatur teacher strike is in its eighth day, keeping 9,600 students home from school. As Illinois continues digging out from yesterday's storm that in some areas dumped 10 inches of snow, forecasters say people in much of Illinois should not expect to see the snow melt off for at least a few days. In central Illinois, the heaviest snowfall was 6 inches, reported around Clinton, Neoga, and Fisher, with other areas in the region getting 3 to 5 inches. A member of the National Transportation Safety Board says the investigation into last night's deadly accident at Chicago's Midway Airport could take a year. A Southwest Airlines jet trying to land in heavy snow crashed through a barrier and struck a car on the street, killing a 6-year-old Northwest Indiana boy. Indiana State University officials are weighing whether to start the state's third public law school because aspiring law students at the Terre Haute campus aren't being admitted elsewhere due to a lack of space. A feasibility study of the proposal is expected to be finished by June. But Higher Education Commissioner Stan Jones says Indiana needs to be certain it really needs another law school before officials will consider whether to approve the proposal. The arraignment for a man accused of killing an ISU student was postponed today. The reason is that Maurice Wallace has not been indicted in the death of Olamide Adeoye. Prosecutors say an indictment will be handed down before Wallace's next court appearance on December 28th. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. We're joined now by Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey, where he serves as the state climatologist to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Hi, Jim.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for filling in this afternoon for Steve Hilberg. We appreciate that. Tell me about this week and how it compares climatologically to past weeks at this time of year.
Yeah, this week has been much colder than average. You know, in the Champaign-Urbana area, normal highs are around 38, 40 degrees, and normal lows are about 24. And we've been running well below that, and that's pretty much the story across the Midwest. In fact, this reminds me very much of the December 2000, when we had very cold temperatures, second coldest December on record since 1895, and lots of snow. So at least the first week or so of December sure reminds me of that year.
And how much snowfall have we had here in Champaign County?
Yeah, here in Champaign County, we've gotten about 8.5 inches so far this year, and most of that fell last night, so about 5.6 inches. That's pretty typical for the central part of the state, a lot of 4 to 6 inch amounts across central Illinois. Get up around Chicago, though, with the lake effect giving a little extra boost there. They got a lot more snow. I think I saw amounts up to 11 inches.
The wind laid down nicely last night. Hasn't really picked up again today. Can we expect it to stay that way?
Well, I think the next couple of days, the longer the snow sits there like this, the less it's going to move around. So, yeah, I don't think the winds are going to pick up too much, and might see a little bit of drifting here and there, especially out in the countryside. But I think it's going to pretty much stay put. And temperatures are going to remain pretty much at or below freezing for the next couple of days. And probably it'll be very hard to get much above freezing until we get rid of this snow. And I think there's another shot of snow coming in about Sunday.
And predictions for how much?
I haven't seen any predictions for amounts yet, although my sense is that it's not going to be as big as this event.
And then as we close out this year, how's it compared to other years on the average?
Well, despite this last week of really cold weather, 2005 is probably going to go down the books as being on the dry side and also on the warm side. Most of the months in this year across Illinois were above average on temperature. So I think we're running about 2 degrees above the long-term average right now.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
I think that's it.
Thank you much, Jim. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is at the Illinois State Water Survey, located here in Champaign County. Here, Steve Hilberg. Join us here on the Closing Market Report on Friday afternoons. Remember, you should tune in again tomorrow morning for Commodity Week at 11:30 a.m. It's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. If you just can't wait, you can always pick it up off of our website at WILL.UIUC.edu after about 6 o'clock this evening. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.